So what actually goes into creating the so-called perfect cup of coffee?
Yeah, so I've been working in this coffee industry for quite some time. And as a trained chemist, I've been thinking about the problems that give rise to variation in shots of espresso, in filter coffees, and other formats. And in 2014, we were thinking about how water chemistry impacted the flavor of coffee. And we showed back then that, you know, hard water was not necessarily ideal. And then in 2016, we examined how coffee would fracture in a grinder. So essentially, we just ground a whole bunch of coffee and looked at the particle sizes and got a handle on sort of optimizing the particle size distribution to make ideal cups of coffee depending on the brew method. And then in the paper that we recently published in 2020, we then finally, you know, took the water and the coffee grinds and put them together and went after the problem of variable espresso, essentially trying to enable people to experience a tasty cup of coffee, either at a cafe or at home, the same every single time. And so, you know, I think you and I probably both agree that we've been to our local cafe and had a good cup of coffee one day and a bad one the next. And we're really trying to overcome that problem. We're just trying to enable the barista to be able to convey the coffee flavor to you the same way they intended to every time.
How does this actually, you start with something like this, you know, which is an everyday occurrence, as you say, breaking down the real mathematics of it, breaking it down to numbers to find out, well, how much coffee actually ends up in the cup. How does this work?
Right. So a conventional cup of coffee uses, let's say, 20 grams of ground coffee, and then you pass water over it. And, you know, let's say we use 40 grams of water. And you're going to extract some component of that solid coffee into the liquid. And so on average, it turns out that about 20% of the mass that you actually started with, so let's say 20 grams, well, you're going to get 20% of that, which is 4 grams, ends up dissolved in the liquid. Now, that we call that an extraction yield. And so that already, you know, it's numerical at this point. So that's already a little bit of math. But things get a little bit more complicated because now we have to relate that extraction yield to flavor. And there's not really a strict sort of relationship between the mass of coffee you extract and the flavor. So that still relies on the humans, the tongue, if you like, to be able to quantify that. But then really the challenge here and sort of the novel advance that we've been working on is the fact that when you grind coffee too fine, you think you're going to expose a whole bunch more surface area. And so the water should be able to extract more stuff, more flavor, if you like, from the coffee. But as it turns out, you run into a bit of a problem where you make too much dust and no longer is the water able to touch all of the dust equally. And so overall, you end up extracting less average mass and you get a mixture of flavors that taste a bit sour, a bit bitter, and sort of an undesirable flavor profile. But more importantly, maybe you like that flavor profile. The real problem is that it's irreproducible. So one shot will taste like that and the next one, who knows?
Well, just before we move on to sort of the reproduction of these kinds of results, as you mentioned in your article, not everybody's going to enjoy necessarily the same flavors in their coffee. How do you tackle something like that when it is so subjective?
Right. You've asked a really interesting question because usually in science, and I'm sure when you talk to other scientists, they are usually going after a number. Like, for example, if I'm trying to make a better solar panel, there's a number that I'm trying to hit, like a certain voltage or something like this. But when you're going after a scientific problem where the ideal point or an optimized outcome is something subjective, then you actually have to get creative with how you're asking the question. So instead of saying, we're going to tell you what good coffee tastes like, we're instead saying, you tell us what you think good coffee tastes like, and we're going to then give you the parameters in which you need to use to dial in that exact flavor. So we're sort of like flipping the variable, if you like.
And on that one that I mentioned before, just how reproducible is this? I mean, getting a consistent result, as is the aim of the study.
Right. So when we were talking about extraction yield before and thinking about, you know, 20%, which would be 4 grams, well, 20% is, in coffee terms, really different to 21% in terms of flavor. But as the conventional approach that is currently used in Australia, here in the United States, you're going to experience up to 1% variation in the shot's mass, which is therefore a variation in flavor, right now. And then using our method, we reduce that variation from plus or minus, you know, a half a percent. We now reduce that all the way down to something like plus or minus 0.01 of a percent. So it becomes very reproducible.
So, Chris, now that you've got this kind of research under your belt, I mean, have you passed this on to your local cafe, or are you just now at home making yourself the perfect cup of coffee every morning?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I would love to keep all these things secret, but actually, you know, as my job as an educator is definitely to make sure that this makes its way into the market. When I first got to Oregon, I started working with a local cafe to implement these procedures to see if we could get the reproducibility up and perhaps even use a little bit less coffee along the way. And we've been doing that for 2 years, actually, and I've been monitoring the amount of money they've saved and also the satisfaction of the customers. And it would appear that the customers actually can't tell a difference, which is great, in the sense that the good cup is still a good cup and the bad cups have gone away. And more importantly, they've ended up using a little bit less coffee to achieve this reproducibility. So I've actually ended up saving them about $3,500 a year just from implementing this in one little cafe.
Well, it's fascinating stuff. Chris, thank you very much. Do appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.